The following is a recording for Daniel Landon with the Missouri Hospital Association on Tuesday, January 8, 2019 at 10 o'clock a.m. Central Time. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, we now have our speakers in conference. Please be aware that each of your lines is in a listen-only mode. At the conclusion of today's presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At that time, further instructions will be given as to the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. It is now my pleasure to turn the conference over to Mr. Daniel Landon. Sir, please go ahead.
Thank you very much, and welcome to all of you for joining us on our MHA membership update on Medicaid DSH audits. I believe many of all of you would have received last Thursday, I believe it was, a memo from us on some interesting developments related to DSH audits, which we'll review today. We wanted to provide the opportunity for our membership to have the opportunity to ask questions of the issues, to learn more about it, and also, as the operator mentioned, this is being recorded, and so other people within your organization, if they'd like to listen to it, can do that as well. To form the agenda for our call today, we had sent you some slides. They went out Monday at about 3:45, and so we'll be using those. If you haven't called those up, it was an email from me, Daniel Landon, at MHA, and it did include the slides we'll be using to discuss our topic today. So starting out, we'd like to go to slide 2. Essentially, the gist of what's happening here is that CMS is abandoning one aspect of its ongoing effort to change Medicaid DSH audit standards. Specifically, they had tried to use a frequently asked questions document to require that both Medicare and third-party payments had to be included in offsetting costs and DSH audits. And this was the only source of the obligation to do that, is it was all being done through a frequently asked questions document. So there were a series of 11 federal court rulings, including one that was resolving an MHA lawsuit, that essentially invalidated this frequently asked questions document in terms of these two questions, frequently asked question 33 and 34. Because the court all unanimously agreed, you couldn't use such a document in lieu of the formal regulatory process. So what's going on now is that CMS is withdrawing those two frequently asked questions and the appeals on that issue after having lost 11 times consecutively and not having any victories. So moving to slide 3, what does this mean? This means that Missouri Hospital's Medicaid DSH liability is going to fall significantly for state fiscal years 2011 through 2017. There are going to be more federal DSH funds that are going to remain in the state of Missouri rather than being returned to the federal treasury, as was envisioned by the original DSH audit rubric. Specifically, for example, if you look at the first 2 years of the audits in which recoupments were possible, state fiscal 11 and 12, the aggregate DSH liability of Missouri hospitals in federal funds was about $92.5 million. That money will not be going back to Washington, D.C. in terms of liability. So turning to the next slide, slide 4. This is a document that was prepared by the state's DSH audit contractor, Myers & Stauffer. We think it offers a couple of interesting observations as to what happens in terms of the number of hospitals that have liabilities and the amount of their liability. You'll see that for each of these first 4 years, 11 through 14, and I would add that the data for fiscal 15, we expect to have any time. The deadline for submitting that data by MoHealthNet to CMS was 8 days ago. And so it's being processed. We expect to have it very soon. But you can see interesting things going on. For 2011, the line on each of these years, it says per report. That is the DSH audit being done with the application of these frequently asked questions, 33 and 34. So that's the way it would have been done. And you can see that under that scenario in 2011, there were 57 hospitals that had overpayments. Without those two frequently asked questions, the number of hospitals drops to 7. And you can see that trend continues for these 4 years, from 46 to 4, from 39 to 3, and at 14 from 40 to 2. Now we can also see the effect on the overpayments and the statewide aggregate numbers. I'm sure that what's probably of most importance to many of you is to say, well, what happens with my hospital? So we are going to be posting individual hospital-specific information on the implications of this on our FRA website, where all of you have access to get that information. It should be up tomorrow. We may not be able to have it up immediately after this call, but we're working on getting that up for everybody, so you'll be able to go out and see what your particular numbers are. It's highly likely that the liability you may have had as a DISH recipient, if you had one, probably will be will disappear or be significantly less. But they will be posted on the FRA policy, the FRA website for MHA. Turning to the next slide, slide 5. CMS is not abandoning the field altogether. After they got all their initial backlash from doing something through their frequently asked questions, they actually did issue in April of 17 a formal regulation that would essentially do the same thing through the DISH audit process. That regulation would have taken effect June 2nd of 2017. The regulation has been blocked by federal court rulings as violating federal Medicaid law. So even if they had done it wrong, even if they'd done it right procedurally in the first place, the principle of the policy was wrong as well. And we'll say that MHA, again, had a lawsuit on this and was actually the first federal court lawsuit to win on the issue of the legality, as it were, of the doing this through the regulation. CMS has appealed. It is not in effect now. There's an injunction, but it has appealed. We don't necessarily know how those appeals are going to come out, but we do mention that if the regulation is upheld, if CMS ultimately wins, which seems unlikely because they haven't been winning thus far, but if they do, they'll have the third-party payment standards that they set in their regulation would go into effect, again, June 2nd of 17. That would create probably an awkward DISH audit liability for that year because you'd have essentially 11 months and one day in one system and 1 month minus one day in another system. But Myers and Stauffer and CMS could work that out. Bringing to slide 6, the implications of this weren't unexpected. Back in February of last year, our MHA board appointed a DISH audit litigation redistribution work group. And they were charged with assessing whether and how to redistribute hospital funds to address any concerns about payment equity under the DISH audits as they're playing out in the current system. We also, shortly after that, because there were issues related to the litigation, we had a series of MHA membership webinars similar to this one, and district council meetings in February and March to talk about the rulings and the implications of the work group's deliberations. Turning to slide 7, we can talk about the timing of what all this means. Myers and Stauffer, the state's DISH audit contractor, has already collected the data at least necessary or close to be necessary to redo the completed DISH audits for fiscal 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15. So they can do this without the frequently asked questions policies. It is not assured that they won't be coming back to ask for more information. If MoHealthNet Division says that they need more information from the hospital, it is possible that Myers and Stauffer might need to come to the hospital to do some additional audit work, but it seems like that is likely to be minimal, if at all. The general policy, we have seen nothing that obviates the general policy that hospitals will have a year after the MoHealthNet division files their audit with CMS to pay back any obligations. We don't know and haven't seen anything to clarify whether or not multiple years of DISH audits could be done within a single year. For example, they have the data to process 4 or 5 DISH audit standards from 11 through 15. We have not yet gotten an answer as to whether they could or would combine those to say, okay, here we are now in 2019. We're going to put all these out, and they'll all be paid in 2019. We are still working on that. We'll let the membership know as soon as we find something. And the last few slides, because we have been dealing with Dish Audits for a while, and for those of you who might not have seen this before, and also those of you who might want to update some of our rubric for describing how this works, we just wanted to review some of our target charts with updated numbers. Now, those of you who've followed this for a while well know that what they're trying to do with Dish Audits, which were based in a federal law from 2002 and then implemented in a regulation in early 2009, they're trying to align costs and payments, specifically to say a state's DISH payments to hospital can't exceed that specific hospital's DISH compensable costs, as they're defined. So that seems like it'd be pretty easy, but it's a lot harder than it looks because both payments and costs are prospectively determined. They use four-year-old cost reports. They prospectively determine what your payment's going to be, and a lot of things can change in a number of years, like swings in utilization, what happens to budgets, changing reimbursement systems, and the like. So it's an inexact science. Turning to slide 9, these are the aggregate results for Missouri hospitals. You can see this target chart essentially tries to show that what they're trying to do with Dish Audits is to get all the payments along that horizontal line that bisects this circle. When your payments are greater than your cost, you're going to be above the line. When they're below the cost, you're going to be below the line. We have the parlance that when you're above the line, it's basically a long fall, and when you're below the line, it's a short fall. So they did, I believe it was 6 practice runs for fiscal 2005 through 2010. They did the audits, but they didn't have any repercussions because they weren't going to do any real recoupments. Starting in 11, they were essentially doing audits that would result in recoupments. And so you can see the first year there was a net aggregate liability of about $100 million. The next year it went down to looks like about 50. And then in the subsequent 3 years, it looks like we have had a net shortfall, that we have not had a net liability. Now, as all of you know or would recognize, what really matters here is not what happens to the industry as a whole, it's what happens to your hospital. So what happens in your hospital, if your hospital has a liability, under the Dish Audit rubric, you'll pay that liability back to MoHealthNet. That money will essentially be put into a pot, and to the extent that there is money and capacity, it will be used to bring up those who are shortfalls to get closer to that dotted line. Again, the implication is that everybody should be on that dotted line. Now, turning to slide 11, with the new standard we see evolving without frequently asked question 33 and 34, what that means is your place on the scale is extremely likely to be moving down quite a bit. So we have relatively few hospitals with liabilities and a lot of hospitals with shortfalls. That means the money that those hospitals with liabilities paying in is not going to be anywhere near sufficient to deal with the number of shortfalls. So that's basically just kind of a revisiting of some graphs we've used before to show how this plays out within the audit, within the membership. So that's the end of our presentation. Operator, we would now like to open it up to the membership for questions.
Yes, sir. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the 1 key on your touch-tone phone now. Again, that is star 1 to ask a question. And our first question will come from Alan Johnson.
Yes, I think the answer to this question is kind of obvious, but again, the fiscal year 16 DISH surveys will be due in a matter of weeks. Can you please confirm to the group that those surveys will now be done excluding any dual eligible payments?
So, Al, this is Kim Dugan, and yes, that's correct. I don't suspect that Myers and Stauffer will even bother to show it both ways since there's been the decision. This last year for 15, Myers and Stauffer showed it both ways. I assume they'll just lean toward excluding those payments for 16 when it's done.
Al, is your question, do you have to submit it with both ways, or can you do
this? Yeah, that's my big question. Do we still have to submit it both ways? I don't see any reason why we would.
That would seem like busy work. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know if Kim does, but we can try to find that out from Myers & Stauffer.
We will get clarification for sure from Myers & Stauffer. I, too, would be surprised if they require it, but we will find out and get that information out to the membership.
All right, thank you. Our next question will come from Krista Berry.
Yes, I was wondering if there was any clarification for the hospitals that had a shortfall, if there would be any eligible redistributions, or if, you know, the reduction in the liabilities is going to eliminate any potential for that.
Well, we're fairly, I mean, these numbers aren't necessarily final, but we're fairly certainly won't be enough money to do a significant redistribution for the shortfall hospitals. But the purpose of the work group we have on dish litigation redistribution is to work on that issue. We're doing a number of different initiatives. One is to explore whether the opportunity to make additional dish payments under some unused capacity could be used to target those shortfall hospitals. And that's one of the questions that committee is delving into now.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1. And our next question comes from Laura Ng.
Yes, I just have a quick question about slide number 10. The black X's that you have there, is that facilities? Individual facilities, or was that...
Yes, those are individual facilities. It's just trying to graphically portray at the individual facility level, a hospital, if it has a liability, will have to, you know, pay their recoupment. And then the individual facility that's a shortfall will get, to the extent there's money available, will get some of that to help bring them up toward the line.
Okay, because there's only 7 on there, so I was just kind of curious.
Yeah, it was just a graphic representation, right.
Gotcha. Thank you.
All right, again, to ask a question, please press star 1. All right, Mr. Landon, at this time, we have no further questions in the queue.
Well, thank you, operator. Well, we appreciate your joining us on this call. Again, in the next day or two, we'll be publishing your hospital's and system specific information on our FRA website, so that may help address some questions. As we think through this, please give us a call. Particularly, I think Kim Dugan is ready and able to answer your questions as they come in. Again, if you know somebody within your hospital or system who might want to listen to this call, it will be recorded and posted on the MHA website along with the slides so they can follow through. We wanted to give you the opportunity to, again, learn about this. This is clearly good development in terms of preventing millions of dollars from going back to the federal treasury, but it also does have implications for distribution within the Missouri hospital family. And so we do have a process for dealing with that as well. So thank you very much, and we hope you have a good day.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's teleconference, and you may now disconnect.